And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you. Do not forget, I'm in studio Monday mornings from 6:20 to 6:30. Join Jack. And then at the end of the week, I'm in with Jack from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We talk about pretty much anything. Jack takes over the conversation. So it would be helpful if you guys give us a call at 645-6161 and gently slap him back into order so we stay focused on the things we want to talk about. So certainly that. Also, I'm filling in for Jack over the next few weeks. He's going to take some vacation. And do not forget, December 27th is our big wine show. We're going to go ahead and talk about, because everyone goes out and they think about it, and these guests that we have coming on can kind of chime in on this as well. Everybody, and John Norris here as well, everybody goes out before New Year's Eve and they grab the most expensive bottle of champagne, thinking that's the best bottle they should be bringing to any party. And lo and behold, we always prove that wrong. We come up with economic ways of looking at some of the better wines that are out there that probably do a much better job for toasting in the new year. So join us December 27th for that as well. So Flag Hill will be there to help us out with that conversation. And speaking of that, what an awesome segue. Of course, Brian Ferguson from Flag Hill. Brian, how are you this morning? Outstanding show last month, did really well. Everybody tried out the recipes. The recipes tend to be the best part of the show. I think everybody sits there and goes, okay, Jeff, can you do the recipes first? Because when you guys drink the recipes and then do the interview segment, the interviews are so much better. But I warn them that that's why we don't drink first. So Brian, before we get into a few questions, you brought a guest with you as well, as we've been doing. So would you like to introduce your guest?
Yeah, so this morning with us, we have Cassie Nickerson. She is our brand ambassador.
Cassie, so Cassie, when you go to the parties, do you just, when people say, well, what do you do for a living? Do you go, I'm an ambassador? And they stand off and they go, you're young to be an ambassador. I go, oh, isn't it impressive? Do you have a made-up country that you tell them that you're an ambassador for? You should make up, you know. Watch some of the older Three Stoogers. They actually made up country names all the time. You can use that as your ambassadorship. They're like, oh my goodness. So we're going to come back to Cassie in just a little bit and talk about what a brand ambassador does and some of the neat things. She's also going to make a recipe for us as well. I'd like to remind you that Stonehouse Bakery sponsored the donuts this morning and nobody is touching them. So if that box stays there, it's going to be a very long Saturday for me. So Brian, let's talk a little bit. You know, so I went to your chef series. Started off last week, Zach did an awesome job. And then he was so humble. This is what I love about, because chefs don't typically aren't humble, because I have John Noor here to attest to that. They're arrogant, they're snobby, they want to come out and hear everybody give them praise. No, I'm just kidding. Not John. But Zach didn't want to do that, but he did just an awesome job with the series. And it was all, it was interesting stuff. We had rabbit. And then we started off with rabbit, and then we had bison braised ribs, and then I had the duck. And I have to tell you, I had never had duck done that well in my entire life.
That's awesome to hear. Yeah, he's an incredible chef. We plucked him out of Pennsylvania and brought him here. He does unbelievable work. But in this year, as I think we talked about on one of the other shows, he actually was 2019 Chef of the Year.
Yeah. For good reason.
Yeah, for good reason. He's incredible. But the dinners are really fun, and they're a good opportunity. So, you know, it's a good opportunity for the chef to be creative. When we're doing weddings throughout the year, a lot of times people for weddings choose relatively similar food. So a lot of times he's cooking kind of, I don't want to say the same thing.
Sure.
You know, you're doing...
Chefs don't want to get in that rut either.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the creative outlet. So the idea with the monthly dinner in the winter, the chef's table dinner, is first and foremost, it's themed. So there's always some kind of theme. So the last dinner that we did was game themed. That's why there was rabbit and duck and bison and things like that. The next dinner that we're going to do is actually pork themed. We raise pigs on our farm, and we raise them on pasture, a combination of pasture, spent whiskey grain, and
on Sundays they get wedding cake, if there's wedding cake left over. the reason that they're raised on pasture, the big benefit is that it actually changes the types of fats that are in the animal. So it actually makes the animal healthier for you to consume. It changes the relationship of omega-6 versus omega-3 fatty acids. So raising them on pasture is A, good for us, but B, it's also really good for them. They get to spend 9 months out running around in a huge grass lot and having a good old time.
Having a wonderful time.
Yeah, exactly.
For our enjoyment.
Yeah, eating spent whiskey grain, grass, and the pasture mixture that we raise for them. It's got brassicas, beets, turnip, kale, all kinds of different stuff in it.
Oh, nice.
And then, like I said, you know, they get scraps, leftover scraps from. So it's a great way for us to kind of recycle not used food.
And so when you think about the series, too, and once again, we're talking to Brian Ferguson. You can talk Flag Hill. So go to Flag Hill at flaghill.com, flaghill.com. When we talk about the chef series, so you also do the Bubbles and Brunch, the Brunch and Bubbles. I think I might be saying that right. But you can't do that during the winter because it's
exactly.
Just a different location, different approach to that.
Yep.
So this is a nice little series to kind of keep people engaged at the winery and distillery during the winter.
Completely.
And so if people want to participate in that, how can they participate in it? Because you do it once a month.
Yeah, so the easiest way is to just call into Flag Hill, which is 659-2949. You can easily Google it or look it up on the internet. We also have a form on our website you can fill out and send in, or send an email to wine-info.com or events@flaghill.com. The other way that people do that, the other way people make reservations, and this is the preferred way, is come into the tasting room, do a tasting, and then sign up right there.
Perfect.
Which is great. But the other great thing about the chef's pairing dinner that I didn't touch on is that every course, so it's all one inclusive fee, all the tax gratuity, everything, and every course, it's usually three or four courses. Every course is paired with a wine or a spirit. Which is really nice. It's a dinner. It's, you know, plan when, if you decide to come to it, plan to, it's going to take up a couple hours.
Right.
We're there for a while.
And you'll sit at a table with people you don't know. And as you drink
which
more,
is,
it becomes really
exactly,
quite,
which is
quite
of,
interesting.
Yeah.
Actually,
it's part of the fun.
As
of it.
I found out. Yeah. The last You're what? I'm a radio announcer. Have we ever heard you? Probably not. If you're asking. Just kidding. So let's go over to the ambassador. You know, rank has privileges here. So Cassie, let's talk a little bit about your job. So I have actually seen you in action. So I've seen you at Strawberry Bank. And so I get a general concept of what an ambassador might do. For one thing, I think that's the most awesome title ever. I mean, just do you have that on your business card?
Yep. Yeah,
excellent. Cool. So the parents must just, you know, they don't say brand ambassador. Oh, my daughter's an ambassador.
Well, my dad has a little bit of a different term. But
okay. What does your dad call you?
Professional drunk.
Oh, excellent. Dad, thank you very much. Yep. What are you getting for Christmas?
Yeah, exactly.
That which a professional drunk would give you. Here's a bottle of wine. So talk a little bit about what a brand ambassador does. And this is a relatively new concept that I see, especially local distilleries are implementing, because it's just a nicer way to introduce what the distilleries do and the wineries do and then some of the brands they offer. So talk a little bit about that.
So yeah, you actually kind of basically nailed it on the head there. So going out, doing tastings, getting folks familiar with the products and things like that. And even before that, you know, going into bars and restaurants, whether we're talking about New Hampshire, we're also down in Massachusetts. You can find us in Rhode Island with our spirits as well. So just kind of getting the name of Flag Hill out there and, you know, working for Brian here and the products that we make. It's really easy to get behind, you know, what we do. So it's just kind of sharing that experience with everyone. And, you know, support local, of course, is always really nice. And just kind of sharing our story.
So as people are listening to this, too, so what are some of the scheduled events you have coming up? So you're going to be out and about over the next few months.
Yeah. So actually, we have two going on today. At Store 69 in Nashua, the liquor outlet up there, we'll be doing an In the Mix series. So actually, Brian will be up there with Chef Zach from 12 to 2. So we'll be sharing some of our spirits going on up there.
Excellent.
Some sparkling Cayuga, Chef's whiskey meatballs, which would be really cool. So go check them out from 12 to 2. I'll be down at the city in Seabrook, New Hampshire. I'll be doing a wine tasting out there. And just over the next couple weeks, you know, you'll find me at different New Hampshire liquor and wine outlets. Whether we're talking about Rochester, I'll be in Epping, Seabrook area, and then we'll be at George Caleb's Fine Foods. They're one of our accounts out in Barrington, New Hampshire. So we'll be kind of all over the place this next week.
It's right near us.
Yeah, the next 2-3 weeks for Cassie are crazy usually.
Well, the holidays too. And I mean, I think we make this point, and I know a lot of people are driving around that right now listening to the show. And I've also, if you're listening, if you downloaded the podcast of the show too, you're thinking, hey, what? I have not finished my Christmas shopping. I have not done my holiday shopping. As we always say, and we're going to do a show on what happens on 125 because there's so many awesome things
idea.
On 125.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
I can't encourage you guys enough. Look, I know Amazon is out there. It's an entity. It exists. And you're going to buy something. But you know what? Buy local. The gifts are just so much better. And then you're actually giving back to your community. The same people that you're going to be buying from this holiday season are the same people you're going to ask, can you sponsor this? Can you donate this? Can you help us here? And why not keep that money in the community?
Yeah, that's completely true. Yeah, it's completely true. It's a lot of people don't think of the economics of it. If you buy something that was produced like a far distance away or by a very large company that's domiciled in another state, you know, that money flees our economy. And,
correct.
And it doesn't get used over and over again here.
It's not as unique either. I mean, there's just
completely.
Something, you know, because we give your brands all the time. We'll pair it with Kalis, actually. We'll pair it with Kalis purchases.
Nice.
And it just makes a much nicer gift when you hand that out as well. So, Cassie, so when you think about being a brand, what's the most interesting question you get? Like, and have you mastered the that is stupid question so that it doesn't insult them? So what is a common question you get when people ask about Flag Hill and ask about the products that you're representing?
You know, a lot of the question, where are we, is a big question. How long have we been around, being another question. And then
almost 30 years.
Yep. So, yeah, a lot of people are surprised by that, and learning that we are, in fact, the oldest distillery in the state of New Hampshire, which is pretty awesome. And just people are really kind of excited. You know, they go, where do your grapes come from? And, you know, like I say from the backyard, but, you know, not the backyard, but our vineyard out there, and how we grow everything on site, whether we're talking about the grapes for the grape wines that we produce, and as well as the, you know, the corn and the rye going for our whiskeys, which really intrigue people. So that's probably the number one question I get is, where do you source your ingredients from? I think that's kind of the hot topic of being A, local, and then B, where is everything coming from? And we do it all right there.
And it's interesting because, you know, especially how consumers have matured on these kind of products, on food products, on restaurant products, on now distillery. Interesting point, Brian, is that, you know, you are the oldest in the state. And a lot of
correct.
What we see for regulations and laws and how the state has approached what is really a small entrepreneurial business really comes because of you guys.
Yeah. So the founder of the company, Frank and Linda Reinhold, they had actually changed the law originally. I want to say it was 2003 or 2004 to allow for craft distilleries to even be able to exist. There wasn't a license in the state if you wanted to open up a distilled spirits manufacturing plant. There was no option for that, and they fought hard for that. And a number of other things that we've done over the years, and we've you know, we've really gotten to a pretty good place legislatively, legally, so that you know, distilleries have a chance in the state of New Hampshire. There's always those things that, you know, everybody talks about wanting, the wish list, but relatively speaking, it's a really good environment, and there's a great, you know, one of the great opportunities that distilleries have in New Hampshire is to form a partnership with the Liquor Commission, the New Hampshire Liquor Commission, which, if you've ever done business at, which I have, as a distillery in other states and even in other countries, it is a major asset having you know, one buyer to talk to in the state of New Hampshire. And when they accept a product, it, you know, there's 70 some odd stores, 78 stores or 79 stores. I don't remember what they're up to now, but that it, you know, gets flushed to. And that's, you know, it allows us to spend time instead of having all these people on the street running down, you know, this small liquor store or that small liquor store.
Sure.
You know, we have the ability to have something like a brand ambassador like Cassie, where she's out just kind of talking about the exciting parts of the brand instead of just trying to get them into a location. Thing one. And thing two, it allows us to focus our time and energy on the things that make a better product. That's why, you know, we spend a lot of our investment money isn't spent trying to get new accounts. It's spent basically growing better material. And we have a simple philosophy at Flag Hill, which is quality of input in is equal to or greater than quality of output out. You can't make something better than the sum of the parts. It's impossible. So, you know, if we don't start with good ingredients, we're in trouble. And it's backed up by the statement that you hear from almost every winemaker you've ever met. Good wine's made in the cellar, great wine's made in the vineyard. It is 100% true. And we use that same philosophy with all of the things that we do, whether it's catering, whether it's the distillery, all of it comes together. And that's because of the whole picture legislatively that exists in New Hampshire, all the laws that exist that allow us to, and the New Hampshire Liquor Commission that allow us to do this stuff.
And Brian, you went all wine zen on us there for a minute. That was really good. Those were all great entrepreneur lines. I'm going to re-listen to the podcast and take out those lines and reuse them. Really good, very good. And Brian knows I joke with him a little bit. So Cassie, you know, one thing I always find interesting too, especially if we talk about the state liquor stores, and I greatly appreciate this, is that when you walk in, the New Hampshire products are more prominently positioned than the big products.
Yeah, for the wines.
Which I think is just shows you that they do have a greater respect, or at least a good respect for, mm-hmm. for the products produced locally, too.
Yeah, it's really neat. And there's a couple of actually different ways that you'll find New Hampshire products. One is that, you know, right on the shelves in New Hampshire wine section right there, if we're talking about that. Secondly, they also do what's called the New Hampshire Wine Rack program. So basically you're in for, I think it's 3 months at a period of time, and it changes over, you know, which New Hampshire wineries are going on there, and will actually be going on that New Hampshire Wine Rack program starting in January. So basically, right at the front of the stores near checkout, you'll see some Flag Hill products right on that rack right in front of you.
That's cool.
It's a really great program.
Yeah.
Yeah, they started doing this a few years ago, and it's been very successful.
So before we take a break, because we're going to get back to Cassie and talk about one, she's going to make a recipe for us, which mm-hmm. is always the most awesome part. And then the other thing is we'll talk a little bit more about some of the things you should be thinking about when you think about purchasing these particular types of wines or distilled products. And we'll talk about the difference. But before we do that, Brian, I think a lot of things that so you guys do so much. So we say distillery, winery, and then people think that's just what it is. Tell us a little about the tasting room and what people can expect when they go to the tasting room. And I think this is just an awesome experience.
Yeah, so we when my wife and I bought the company in 2015, one of the things we really wanted to do was expand the visitor experience in general. So you can come to our tasting room and do a tasting 7 days a week from 11 to 5. So we're I think open every day except for 4 or 5 days a year, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, et cetera. but what we wanted to do was have all these other options other than just the tasting that kind of set it apart from the traditional place. So one of the great things, there's a law that was just passed a few years ago that allows us to serve wine by the glass. So you can come to us, you can do a tasting. You can also, if you find something you really like, you can have a glass of wine, have some cheese. We sell cheese platters there. You can have a cheese platter. We're also doing a thing called what we call wine smoothies now, which are real fruit smoothies.
They're awesome.
With wine in them. They're amazing. They're a lot of fun, and they're really, really tasty. But we have these, you know, other things going on too. Every Saturday and Sunday at noon, we do a public tour. So anyone could show up. You don't need a reservation. You just show up and participate. And you never need a reservation for the tasting room either. And then we also installed about 2 years ago now, not quite 2 years ago, we installed a 18-station walking tour across the entire farm. So it's a 110-acre farm, and it's got an audio file that goes with it. So as you go, you just pop into the tasting room. You can buy earbuds right there if you want them, and you pick up a little map that shows you where to go. And then you can spend, you know, a good couple hours walking around the farm, and we take you, you know, across the whole farm, even out to the, you know, my favorite part of the farm, which is Station 18, way out in the back. You can't even hear 125. Or 150, 155, or 152 from that location, and you know the Lamprey River abuts our property, so it's, you know, it's overlooking the Lamprey River and the vineyards behind you. It's really, really pretty. I highly recommend if you like to hike or snowshoe, even this time of year. There's no reason not to come do it this time of year. If you're into snowshoeing, come by the farm. It's free. There's no charge. Bring your snowshoes. Get the map, and then you go to each station, and there's a URL at the bottom of it, and you can type that into your phone, and it'll play you an audio file about what you're looking at, a little bit about the science, a little bit of fun stuff about what you're looking at, and a little bit about what that agricultural piece is that we use. So we call it our agriculturally based walking tour.
That's really cool, and I hadn't thought about snowshoeing, but if you permit that too.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we took part of that tour during the summer, And we did. We went up
Super
to 18 because
cool.
I was like, you know, Brian went all geek on me and said 18 was his favorite. And I was like, all right, let's just go to 18 and see yeah. what the hell.
See what it is.
No, it's kind of cool. But it's interesting that, and once again, this is the difference between, and I'm not discouraging you from buying bigger wine companies and stuff like that, but these are the kind of things that really make it so fun to live in New Hampshire. It's why all of us end up wanting to live in New Hampshire and stay
exactly.
in New Hampshire is the ability to do that. And I'm glad you mentioned snowshoeing because somebody's driving along right now going, hey, I hadn't thought about that. And
yes,
so that'll be neat.
Yep.
So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break and we'll come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about one wine that I thought was particularly interesting at the dinner.
Sounds great.
I wanted to talk about that. And then we'll bring Cassie in and talk a little bit more about some of the other things that she does and also some recipes. So we'll do that all next on New Hampshire Today, the Weekend Edition. Welcome back to New Hampshire Today. Jeff Chittister with you. Hope you're having an awesome day. We always appreciate it when you take time out of your day to join us. There is no article this week. You can also catch my last week's article on Peloton commercial and see how you appreciated that. And I think that the follow-up commercial to the Peloton commercial was so much better, Brian, when they decided to do, what's his name? I forget the actor's name now. They decided to do a commercial on his gin. So they took the woman from the Peloton commercial and they placed her in a bar looking very distressed with her two friends drinking a big gin martini. And I just thought that was brilliant
I
marketing.
I haven't seen it. That's awesome.
You should watch
she
it.
Chugged the, she chugged the martini.
She chugged yeah, it. She, yeah. She goes, oh, I think she'll have another. So the whole part of that I thought was interesting. So read my last week's article. I got a lot of emails on that. Just,
that's really funny.
Just because it's silly what we decide to do on social media. Cassie, we're going to come back to you.
All right.
You ready? So so what drink should we be thinking about today?
Yeah, so a nice simple drink going on today.
It looks real simple. It looks
is.
Like – so clearly you're not an early morning person. Like, you're like, oh. Like, all right, ramen hot chocolate. Awesome.
I mean, what
your dad's one? Opinion of you is looking relatively familiar to me now. All right, go ahead. Sorry, I just
jest. Yeah, no worries. I mean, it is hot chocolate season after all, so – a really nice cocktail, a really simple cocktail. One of Brian's favorite cocktails is, quite honestly, just a nice tall glass of hot chocolate that you're going to add, I'd probably say 1 to 1.5 ounces of our spiced rum into there. With really nice, in the spiced rum, you can find a ton of Madagascar vanilla beans in here, and there's cinnamon and grains of paradise and a little bit of Hampshire maple syrup going on in there. So just those flavors with the hot chocolate is it's pretty amazing. It's pretty delicious. I'll pour you.
So, and I'll make the sound glug, 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 glug. Actually, it's not that much. They were like, geez, it's a lot of glugging going on.
This is also much better if you make a homemade hot chocolate using heavy cream and butter and tempered in chocolate.
Is that a poke really at your nice. Ambassador? should I go all congressional hearing here? Tell me, Ambassador, was this is this American or Russian hot chocolate?
That's actually a good segue into someone that was supposed to be here, and a chocolate.
Yeah.
We bought her tasting chocolate for my family. And it's kind of like a demi-tasse chocolate,
oh, nice.
Kind of European chocolate. And just kind of looking at that, that would be perfect. Having a little bit of the tasting chocolate that she sells, she does a 75 and a 100%.
That's
and we go really well
good.
With that. So
that's perfect. And usually to finish it, just grate, like if you have a really good chocolate like that, to just grate a little bit over the top of it.
Do you know Anna?
I don't personally know.
Cassie, you should go over there and experiment with her because she
perfect.
Seems like an experimental person.
<I don't drink.
laughs> I think a couple bottles will do.
Yeah, right?
So John's going to taste it. Good for you, John, because I'm driving right now. So
well, no, and I don't drink rum, but it's very nice.
You don't drink rum?
No, I don't drink
rum,
and it's
awesome.
A really good, really good flavor. Perfect.
Well, next summer I have a new recipe for the Chittister Shipwrecks involving all their rum because we've come up with the balance now.
Perfect.
So.
I can't wait to try it.
So, how was it, John?
Oh, it was very good. I really enjoyed it. I think having a really high end chocolate would go really well with that. But
all right, perfect.
Great flavor, and like you said, the rum is fantastic. And I'm not a rum drinker, but the flavors that you described in the rum. Just really come out with the chocolate. So it's awesome.
So we'll think about that. So we'll and when we have Anna on next week, we'll see what the pairing is, because we talked about what we should be pairing.
She also sells she also sells a bottle with the chocolate nibs, and you can add alcohol. And it does chocolate infused.
That sounds
so
awesome.
That would, I mean, you would have that ramen. There you go.
I'm sold.
I'm going to email her. We're going to try that. Yeah. That's exactly what we should do.
It takes 2 weeks, though, for it to infuse. I'm just
saying. I know. You're reflected to the face that I am now showing you.
A little bit of heat, a little bit of heat, and we can bring that time
down. I look like a little kid who just had the chocolate taken away from me. We got to wait 2 weeks. Right. So, Cassie, before we move on from you, some of the things you're doing again, just remind everybody over the next couple weeks.
Yep. So today we got In the Mix going on up in Nashville Store 69. I'll also be at the City in Seabrook today as well, both of those being from 12 to 2 p.m. And then next week, Thursday and Friday and Saturday, I will be at different New Hampshire liquor and wine outlets, whether on the seacoast, up in Concord, and as well as down at George Califf Fine Foods.
When are you going to be at Kale's?
It will be Friday the 20th from 3 to 6.
Oh, perfect.
And if you're looking for where we're going to be, if you like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram, we're always letting people know that way what stores we're going to be in.
Right. So take the social media route, guys. Friend them. Make sure that you check out Facebook, especially check out Facebook because when spring comes around, certainly when they're doing their brunch, it always sells out quick. So you want to get ahead of that schedule.
Quick.
That's the only way you're going to find out quick. Trust me, folks, they have a groupie sect out there. Once those notices go up, they all take the seats. So you've got to be as passionate about making sure that you're checking out their Facebook page.
It's amazing. As we approach that, there's people that call every day.
I sat at a table at the chef series of with groupies.
Yeah,
like Flag Hill groupies. I mean, it was amazing.
We have awesome fans.
They truly are fans. I think that if you had come out there, Brian, they would have mobbed you like the Beatles. It just would have been like. Anyway, okay. So one thing I did want to talk about, going back to the chef series, you had a really apparently I've just found out it's very kind of exclusive now. You had a really interesting sparkling. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but you'll clearly correct me. Something that I hadn't seen you guys offer before.
Yeah.
Tell us about that wine.
So that's our sparkling Le Crescent. We released it in August of this year. We only had 60 cases. I think we're down to just a few at this point. And we do have another 110 cases we're going to bottle. But basically, the Le Crescent grape is a grape that we can grow here in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
It is pound for pound one of the most aromatic grape varietals on the planet. It's unbelievable. And in the wine community, the grapes that we grow, a lot of people have talked negatively on for a very long period of time. And we're excited that this grape is helping turn the corner on this part of the conversation. People are finding out that, wow, you really can make world-class wines here in New England. this grape this year at Indy International Wine Competition actually took best in show amongst all of the wines of all of the world that were entered into this competition, which is a really big deal for northern wineries to, you know, people like us who are growing these grapes to be able to show that, you know, this definitely is possible. We've been saying it for years that we know we make world class wines, and anytime we send them out to a competition, they do really, really well at international competitions.
It's the bulldog of the grape world.
Yeah, it's
the bulldog one.
It is a very.
If you have to explain the joke. I'm shocked, Brian. Actually, there are snobs in the wine community too.
Yeah, it's crazy. No, we're in love with this grape. We you know, 10 years or so ago, maybe 12 years now, we planted this grape. And I actually came to New Hampshire during our first harvest. So in 2013, that was our first harvest of this grape. And it was really interesting. We didn't know what to expect. We'd heard a lot of good things about it. And we were blown away at what it was the first year we made wine with it. And we didn't do a very good job the first year because it takes a long time to figure out how to make any one grape into wine the right way. And we've really put a lot of focus and energy into making this grape into a great wine. The way we do everything else, we harvest early in the morning at cold temperatures, and then we stop the fermentation early. But, you know, the great thing about making this grape specifically into a sparkling wine is that the aromatic properties that are in the grape are very easily oxidized. And what that means is that they can be turned into flavors that aren't as good as they once were. right, with in the presence of oxygen. And if you're into wine at all, you'll know what that term is, but it's a very popular term in wine consumption is the term oxidation. Even when we protect them and do all the right things, you can still easily oxidize those aromatic properties, not into off flavors, but just into duller than what they once were. And by making this grape into a sparkling wine, what we're able to do is basically capture all of those beautiful aromatic properties and keep the oxygen out away from the wine, right? Because we have positive pressure from the carboxylic acids coming out of the solution turning into carbon dioxide. And it's actually keeping the O2 away from the wine, the oxygen away from the wine. So it protects all these beautiful, beautiful aromatic properties. So for the first time ever, these unbelievable flavors that we've been able to smell and taste in the tank that we know exist and we scream at the top of our lungs are here, we can actually showcase that to the general public of because we can't walk everyone through the winery and have them taste out of the tank. So and there's limitations to what a bottle does, right? When you put a wine into a bottle, there can be degradation. By putting it into the sparkling wine, by putting the scrape in the sparkling wine, we're able to protect all that. And the reception has been unbelievable from the general public. We're selling the wine at $28 a bottle because it's only grown on the farm. We only have an acre of these grapes, so it's a fairly limited supply. And I was nervous at that price point, for New Hampshire wine, that we'd struggle to do well with it. And that hasn't been the case at all. People absolutely love it. They feel strongly about it as I do, which is it's easily one of the best grapes that I've ever worked with or been around. It's unbelievable.
And so this is radio. When he said he was in love with the grape, he actually flushed up a little guy. So real quick, because we have to end the segment, that wine is only available, and we had it at the Chef's Series, and it was just absolutely stunningly delicious, and I couldn't find it in the liquor store. So we'll bring you back to the tasting room. There's a couple things we want to bring up about the tasting room. One, that wine we just mentioned is available there.
Only there. Yeah,
only
you can
there.
You can only find it in
there
our tasting
you go.
Room.
Guys, Christmas shopping, I don't know how many more alerts I can give you. Go by the tasting room, get something really good. And then talk about some of the other things that are going on in the tasting room as well.
Yeah, so one of the other things we actually just released maybe a week ago. About a week ago. Yeah. We've been working on it for years. We finally kind of came to what we're going to officially do. We officially have a case crew, what we call a case crew, which is basically like a wine club. So if you sign up for it, it's basically a free party every 6 months where you come and pick up your six bottles of wine that are at a significant discount from what they normally are. And there's unique wines and spirits that we'll be making just for the case crew, just for that purpose. And if you're a member of the case crew, you always get a free tasting at Flag Hill. And you'll also be able to bring people with you to the party. And you'll also be able to come into the tasting room anytime and buy those specialty wines and spirits that'll only be available to people that are in the case crew. Basically, it's another, really great idea for a Christmas present. If you're looking for something or that's an experience gift, something that will be able to be used all year. It's got a significant value behind it.
Outstanding. So once again, you want to go to the tasting room. It's just off 125. As I said, you can look them up at flaghill.com, flaghill.com. Cassie's going to be out and about. So when you see Cassie, just pretend like you're her friend now and say, hey, I heard you on the radio. So that makes us friends. And she'll impart all of her wisdom upon you about all the great spirits that are over Flag Hill. And this month, next month, we're going to be talking about it. Nicole is actually going to be joining us December 27th as we do our very special pre-New Year's Eve show about not overspending on really quality sparkling that you can have on New Year's Eve to toast.
Exactly.
Brian, Cassie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us. This is awesome.
It's always a pleasure. And we'll take a break right now. We'll be right back on New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition.